You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
It's Roy Masters speaking, and last night I read you the Sermon on the Mount, and mostly intact with a certain amount of explanation every now and then, but Sermon on the Mount is beautiful to read. You can read it over and over again. But I suggested last night that you do not commit it to memory. That you remember it is one thing, but to remember it on purpose, to be able to recite it, see, and so that you sort of, you're educated. And a lot of people be educated, and the educated person, I'm not talking about skills yet. I'm talking about schools and I'm talking about religion and things like that. Where you get pummeled with authorities, the parson, the teacher, you know, that kind of thing. And so they force you to believe and to remember, and making it important to remember just everything they say so that you can pass your exams. It's not a good system. There is a way of being taught, and the teacher has to have some kind of gracious, personality. You got to be careful, if you don't mind me saying so, but the teacher, the preacher, he can have a very strong personality, but what you need to look out for is the excitement he puts in you. There should be no excitement. There should not be no anger because you feel like you've been... It's a violation. You see, there's two ways that you can be educated. And there's another word for education, educare, which means to bring forth from within. That is, I think, Latin. I'm not sure. Somebody can always correct me. It doesn't matter. What it means is very valuable. A teacher will bring forth what you should know, so that you could actually bear witness to it. There's another way of saying it. So the problem with the school system is teachers. You just can't expect a teacher. When I can look back into the past, I don't remember a good teacher. The only teacher I ever remembered, he wasn't a teacher. He was more important than a teacher. He'd just walk around, and he was the principal, I suppose. And I never spoke a word to him. But there was a certain special quality about him. I can see his name is Mr. Brummiken. Can you believe that? I remember that since I was 7 years old. And I got terrible memory for most things, except in the intuitive things I love. I'm always waiting for some intuitive thing. I may give you an intuitive thing just right off the top of my head one evening. There may be several of them. Who knows? I'm sitting here, I don't prepare anything. I just look, let me put it this way. I'll come back to Mr. Brimmerkin in a minute. My wife is not well, I take care of her, we don't go anywhere, we sit in the house, and so the only time I ever have a nice way of an opportunity to express myself is this radio program every evening. And I invite you to call me. In a manner of speaking, it's lonely, but it's not lonely. I don't know how to put it that way. I look forward to sitting on this chair and and sharing what I know with you. And I would love to know if I'm, you know, practicing what I'm preaching, that you should understand, to stand under. In other words, the foundation of human understanding is we understand God, we stand under God. That's where I've found that way too. Give my organization that name, to stand under. Thank you. We'll be right back.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Yes, you just keep your mind on the word understanding. And they see, but they don't perceive. Jesus says to the Pharisees, they see like an animal. That's all, and they hear like an animal. They see but don't perceive. What is perception? It's another way of learning, by discovering. And so every teacher listening to me, every rabbi talking, teaching now, listening to me, if you want to fight me over this, I'd be very happy to discuss it with me. It could be a very nice discussion, depending upon who it is. If you're going to call me, I understand I'm going to kick your butt in a manner of speaking, because I understand understanding. And a lot of people don't understanding. They think that just knowledge is understanding. If somebody has to say something and play it back, he said, now you understand it. No, you don't understand it. It's words. And words can mean many things. It's how you arrive at what is being taught to you, what is being brought to you, and not mechanical, and not take the person's word for it and just believe in the person that gives you the word, so that the word has a power over you. The words must not have any power over you. Words should be, it should be, if I can say it, find another way of saying it, it should verify what you already realize. In other words, the word, the person that teaches has to understand what he or she is saying. A dukere, to bring forth from within. And so this is what I try to do on my radio program. Show you the meanings of words. Take some words together and put them together and see if it fits. The way you experience a person like myself, maybe more so than others, because I've been doing it so long, is to feel an awakening, like a breath of fresh air. See? So you've got to be careful of intellectuals. They're very dangerous, because they have all that clever vocabulary. They have that, and they have the power, they have the positions, where else would you go to? There's so many of them. There's so few of real teachers. And teachers don't teach, they bring forth from within. And so, as I speak to you, what resonates in you? When you first listened to me, did you not feel like a breath of fresh air? Now I see. Oh, I see. You've got to see it. You see, but you not perceive. That's what Jesus says to the Pharisees. There's a typical example of all knowledge and no common sense. And not that the information that the teacher or preacher is giving is bad, is often very good. I'm coming to William in a minute. It's good. But the point is, how does he deliver it? Does he deliver it that you have to believe it and you have to play it back and you get a good mark? No. We should allow the children to ask questions. What do you mean by this, or madam? See, now we're going to talk to... let me give you the phone number. I've got lots to say, but I'm lonely. You must put it that way. I don't go out much. I stay with my wife. She's not well. She's doing better, but she's old. I'm old. And she's difficult, but I'm more difficult in the sense that you can't get to me. And I want to preach to you that way. I want to teach you in such a way. I want to bring you to a state whereby you can see that the teacher is not lying, but the teacher is pushing. The teacher is prideful. The teacher likes you. He likes you what for? Because you're in a Pisa. You're his pet. You see, that he likes people who do, you know, ruminate or just pick up what he says and give him good marks. That is not the way. So we're going to discuss this a little bit tonight. What you're about to hear, may the Lord make you truly, truly thankful. That's all I want to say. And you have a problem. My business has been my world. My purpose is to bring understanding to the world. In other words, to create a copy of myself that is not of myself. So that you recognize what you've lost as a child. The Bible says that, unless you become as a little child, you can no way enter the kingdom. It's talking about something you need to know. See, little children have an intuition, and they lose it because of the family, craziness in the family, and the family does not know it's crazy. The family doesn't see its own faults, its own conditioning, its own brokenness. It doesn't see its... They don't see themselves as the child sees clearly. And so I want you to come back as a little child, as I know not to be a little child, a grown-up little child, that... is simply sees things clearly and sees through people who don't know what they're saying, even though what they're saying is right. They really haven't the foggiest idea what that word means. Okay, now we're going to take William and in Mississippi. Is it Mississippi? Smoking. Hello, William.
How are you?
I just want to give the phone number to everybody. You got it. 800-866-8883. Okay, now we're with you.
Boy, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Thank
but
you,
it's
sir.
Not here yet.
I know.
I'm spoiled, and you said something about cancer. I had 11 cigarettes today, and I'm trying to get on the Nicorette gum, but I need to go cold turkey.
Well, there's a way of doing that.
Yeah.
And the smoking is one of the easiest things to drop or cure, or whatever word you'd like to use. It's quite. Have you meditated yet?
Yes, I'm meditating with the antidote, and I try to refuse the Prolixin shot, but they gave it to me anyway. The nurse says she takes it too.
You sound very lucid, huh?
Sorry for interrupting.
No, it's all right. Go ahead.
Do you think I'm bipolar?
Well, I haven't. You know, I don't see bipolar yet in you. I see a person with a lot of common sense. That's what I see is there. And I see that you are likely to have been demoralized as a kid with teachings, as the way I was speaking a little while ago. You've been confused. You've lost your confidence.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
I did.
The confidence. In other words, confidence comes from confideo, from within. With, or confideo, with God. With God. Huh?
My father had a heart attack, right?
Yes.
And he used to walk. And he took us to some guy from upstate New York. And I told him we can't have it. And I ripped his shirt right in the center and told I was going to beat him up. And I said, my dad will find us. So he found us, and he wouldn't let us have the beer, and he drove us all the way back, and I stressed him out. I knew other people. They were Southern.
Well, I'm not quite sure I understand what you're trying to say.
I got beaten up very badly.
Yeah, what for? How did you do that?
I was sitting in the back seat of the car, and I took one of the beers, and he said, you took one of my beers, and he started pounding my temple.
Who was the person you took the beer from?
It was planted in the back of the car, and this guy was very evil. He threw rocks. He cut.
But that's not a good question. That isn't something we need to talk about. I want to talk about you, otherwise. What are you calling me for?
I want to get out of mental health.
How old are you?
I'm 53.
And how long
is it? I want to quit smoking and I want to be a good man.
And how long have you been meditating?
I got your antidote about 2 years ago.
And has it improved you?
Yeah, it's good for me. But I'm too dependent on it, and it seems like when I don't take the medication.
Okay, if you're dependent on it, you're not using it properly.
No.
No.
Well, it says to take your right hand and put it by your side. My right wrist shakes when I do it, so I put it on my.
Yes. I see there's something wrong here. I know that you mean well. But you're missing something. You said you're becoming becoming. If you're becoming dependent on it, you're learning it,
yeah.
And you're trying to make it work. You want to be a good person, so you think I'm a good person. Therefore, using my material, the meditation, to make it work. The biggest mistake you're making is for you to try to make it work.
All right.
And so, yes, because God doesn't need your help.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't need your help. You're drowning. You need His help. That's the only way I can express it. So, can you hold the line a minute?
Turn it away for Jesus. I can't.
Hold the line. I got some music coming. I got some music, and I have to make a break. If you don't mind, hold the line.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Yes, I'm back with you, William. Let me. You say what you need to say again, and I will do my thing. Are you there?
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm asking you if you're there.
Okay. Yes, I'm here.
Now, look.
I have this paper, and I can't see small print very well, but one of them is smoking the cause and the cure, and it's CD's $20, but I can't smoke in the house.
Oh, no, listen, we're running off the. You know,
what it means just, to be a man is $35. And one more I want the most is understand the magic of Jesus.
All right. Well, I think I might be able to do this with you now. Look, I want to take you through. I want 7 minutes with you, and then I'll talk to Brad in Mississippi, I think, or Missouri, Michigan. Oh, is it Michigan? Okay. All right. So, William, look,
yeah.
Close your eyes a minute. Let me take you through something very simple.
Now,
I'm going to talk to you about smoking. Do you have a cigarette with you?
Yes, I have a cigarette, but it's not lit.
All right, so you have a lighter and everything, so we can check it out to see if
you've got. Yeah, I have a lighter, and they're called gamblers.
Okay, now. So we're going to try to help you stop smoking right now.
Put it in my mouth.
Yeah, no, okay. Don't put it in your mouth. Just put it down and just do what I ask you to do. Would you do it?
All right.
So now, I want you to close your eyes. I'm going to walk you through it to see if how sensitive you are to what I'm saying. Okay? Now look at your eyelids and tell me what you see with your eyes closed.
I see light.
And little pixels of light moving across the screen of the mind, correct?
Yes.
Okay, that's good. Now, what you're looking at is like a thumb drive. It is an energy coming through you into your brain. You're actually looking at the surface of your brain. Actually, you do. And so, those little pixels, even if you sat in a dark room, you'd see it. And if you sat in a dark room and would become and make sure that the room is very dark, they're not right now, I'm just going to play with an idea, make it more understandable. I can close the door and have it pitch black and still see little pixels floating in the room, little tiny things. You can only, it's like a picture. Sometimes you lose your TV picture and it's lots of little frying pixels. I don't know what you call them.
I looked into my brain once when I was laying backwards on my bed.
Yeah.
And it looked like I was coming through webs, and it looked like I had damage in the frontal lobe.
Oh, no. You don't want to mess with that.
Okay,
don't bring anything into anything. Let me just talk to you a little bit. I won't take you. I just want you to know that those pixels, when your eyes are closed, in a dark room, you'll see you're not looking at your eyelids. You're looking beyond. You'll be actually seeing your eyelids. You see, you're seeing the light that's coming through you. Projected onto the screen of your mind, and so that's one thing. And now the next thing I want you to do is to become aware of the first finger of your right hand. Now, if you do that, if you just become aware of it, but don't look sideways, just keep looking at your eyelids. Become aware of the first finger of your right hand. And if you just beware of it that it's there, it will tingle. It will respond with a little tingle. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm. Warm.
All right. That's it. That's energy. It's like a little kid saying, "Dad, I'm glad you're noticing me. I needed you to notice me, please." And you notice you're looking at you're being aware of the first finger of your right hand, and your right finger. The first finger of your right hand tingles just a little bit. That's good. Now move your attention to the next finger, the second finger, and it also starts to tingle. Is that correct? Just be aware Only be aware of it, but no force. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen.
I want a cigarette.
No, just be aware of your... No, I can't do it. No, you're rushing me through it. I gotta let you go. Can't help you. You're putting yourself in it. One of the cigarette, that's not you. It's not. I haven't finished what I was doing. What I was going to do is put you in a state of mind where you will not need your cigarette. Oh wait, listen. You listen. Keep listening to my program. I'll find a person that will do it, and you watch it. I will find a person that's ready. William, I'll let you go now, and because I'm not going to go anywhere with you at this moment. You play me. It's not good. You're like a naughty little boy. You'll be right back. We're going to go to Brad in Michigan. Hello, Brad. What can I do for you?
Hey, hi, Roy. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Good, good. So, yeah, I just was calling. I've called you before a couple of times, and I still am unclear. So, if I am, you know, let's say I'm using the 7-minute meditation,
yes,
three times a day.
Yes.
Like, what do I do? Like, after, okay, let's say I wake up in the morning and I practice that 7-minute meditation, how am I supposed to live in order to, I guess, maintain the benefit or the effect of the meditation? Like, okay, because you talk about, okay, the observation exercise. Well, what do I do after I do the observation
Nothing.
Exercise?
Nothing. It should leave you in a different state. The meditation,
okay,
if you do it right, is that it leads you to a different state. It leads you towards an ultimate inward state of being, closer to God. In other words, I'm trying to get you to back the whole idea of looking at your eyelids is to stand back from what you're seeing. And in other words, most people, when they go to, the only time they could ever see this is. Well, the tendency is to fall asleep or struggle with not being able to sleep. And struggling is just all kinds of thoughts comes into your mind and it goes round and round and you get frustrated and then eventually you take a drink or something to make yourself... The goal is to sleep. Now, the goal here is to disconnect you from your thoughts. See, and... There's a right brain and there's a left brain, and Jesus speaks of the right hand of God, and that is a code. In those days you couldn't speak. In those days before Jesus had the courage to do it, and to bring forth what was within him and share with people, but in those days they had to hide the secrets and stories, and so the right hand of God means something. The right hand means that the left side of the brain controls the right side of the body. And that's what it means. And when you go to sleep, the tendency is to flow to the left. In other words, you fall asleep. And when you move into mind awareness to the left, and then you go into a good sleep, naturally. Well, here we're doing something very, very personal. Moving towards the right side, moving towards your right hand, is to move the soul back towards or forward with respect to where God is. He's back there, but as you move, your relativity makes you move towards him. Yes, Brad, I think I'll talk you through this because It's best not to be discussed to begin with, but I'll do my best because it really works. It's called be still and know I'm God.
Mm-hmm.
And so the whole idea is for you to be the real person, the spiritual person. See, you have a hand within a hand. You have a leg within a leg. See, meaning you have another self. And in this meditation, if you look very carefully, if you close your eyes and put your hand behind your back, wave your hand behind your back, see if you can see an image of it behind you. Put your hand, wave your hand behind your back, see if you can see the hand within the hand, the spiritual hand. You got a physical hand and you got a spiritual hand. And the whole idea is to become spiritual, less and less animal, more human, more spiritual. And the spiritual has to be, must come forth, and so that you beginning to feel energy and life from within, not life from without. Life from without is anger, frustration, and pleasures, and those are the energy forces of animals. You are lost in that world. You come into the world and the world comes into you. But when you were a little boy, you saw things. You saw your parents, you see your teachers, and the teachers see that they're seeing you, and the more bright you are, the more intuitive you are, the more you offend the people who have been lost, and they have all knowledge and no common sense, or no knowledge and no common sense. So what we're trying to do here is to bring you back to being a little child again, so that you can remember, you can realize things as you walk down the streets. All of a sudden, this idea comes and that idea comes, and that oh, I see that. I want. You see, you can take you can look at a blade of grass and go, wow, how could that be? See that? It's to me, my whole life is wonder, and as I wonder, I understand it slowly but surely. I understand it. I see this. Why does it grow? Well, how does the braided glass know what to do? How did it get there? And so what you're looking at then is you're beginning to experience a mysterious force that created the universe and put the blade of grass there. It couldn't put itself there. And this is a wonderful thing to see a blade of grass in that way. And I see the whole universe that way. And I've written a whole thesis on it for 35 years. It's only 50 pages. But the point is, it's led me to understand things without anybody telling me, much deeper than they'll ever know.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Yes, Brad, I'm back with you again. The whole idea here, right, Brad,
yes,
is the whole idea is to find what you lost when you were born.
Okay.
Because when you come into the world, you come into a world that's crazy, that doesn't know it's crazy. Your parents are demoralized. Your father, I can guarantee your father, every man thinks he falls in love, and what he does is fall from what love is all about. When he gets old enough and he feels the pull of the woman, He thinks that's love. It's calling him. Yes, it does call him, but it's there's something he needs to understand before he gets called or caught in that. So if your father did not find God first, then he has problems with your mother, and the mother has the problems with the father, and they start to squabble, or one gives in to the other, and that's no good either. You don't want to give in. You have to give, not give in. The woman has to give, and the man has to give love, but the love must come through him and not from her. So we got it backwards. When you fall in love, you fall in love, you fall from what love is all about, everybody, because you don't know what love is. You're looking for something and you think it's from the woman. That's Eve. She needs you to love the hell out of her. But you don't. But you, first of all, you have to find who you are. All men have to find themselves. They got to find God before you get married, because if you get married without finding what marriage is all about, it will kill you. You'll destroy each other. And I'm saying, because you really need to know what love is, and where would you find love? He says it in the Bible: "Be still." What does it mean? It doesn't mean still in this world. It means your mind your mind works like a machine. You don't want your soul to be caught up in the machine. And the machine, the reason why your mind is caught up in the machine, because you came into the world and the culture took you over. It upset you. It made you doubt yourself. And so therefore you were programmed, and the programming is you are becoming an American. If you're born in Borneo, you'll be a cannibal. If you're born in ISIS, you'll be ISIS. You can't help it. You don't know any better. It's a hypnotic state for everybody. But in America, we have an opportunity to see. The cannibal doesn't have a chance. He lives in a cannibal society. If you lived in Hitler Germany, they'd kill you if you had a little spark of light. You have to obey the dark side of the force. And there's lots of dark sides of forces in America. Lots of dark sides. We've been through it. I thank God for Donald Trump. I tell you, that man he reveals his independence, his ability to understand and overcome the overcomers. So I want you to be a person who overcomes the overcomer. That does not mean to say that you will make them a slave. You'll wake them up, and I want to wake you up. But the point is, you don't know you're asleep. You don't know that the culture owns you, and the authorities in that culture owns you, to varying degrees. It's a system of things, and so the whole idea of the meditation exercise is one thing, is that you have to find a place where there's no time. There's no such thing as a place in this whole world. There is no time. Time is, if I have to explain that to you, I'd have to spend hours to tell you how time began. But I'm not going to do that. You have to find a place where the time does not affect you. And the things that happen in time can't affect you, because you're coming from a different place. In other words, there's the material self, which is subject to time, and then there's the spiritual self that is subject to timeless time, meaning there's another realm beyond which made the grass, a blade of grass, grow. You could just look at that blade of grass and say, how did it know how to exist? It's growing, and it doesn't even know it's growing. It has no consciousness, and it's growing, and it loves cows to eat itself, and it keeps growing anyway. And so it's a way of looking at things and beginning to look at things, so that you ask yourself the question, there's got to be a creator. if you're standing on the moon and you see something unusual and it looks like it's been made by something, and then you say some alien person created this, some being created this, and then you forget you're standing on the moon. Some being created that. What you're looking for is God. And it can start just with looking at a blade of grass. And what I'm trying to say to you, that all exists in time, but the universe, in the beginning there was the void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. There was nothing. So how did nothing make itself something? And see, that these all these questions, and when you start to be preoccupied with understanding that you don't even understand one cell in your body, how it works, just take one cell and see if you can understand it. See if you can create a cell. They can play with all those things, but they can't create them. And so you're made in the image of God, and different, and therefore something different is expected from you. You're not just going to react and run or fight, because that's what the monkey does. He runs and he responds to pressures in a world of time. What I'm looking for you to do is to find, to be still, and mean still means no time. It's a place within you that is timeless. And if you find the timeless time, so to speak, it will release to you the purpose for which you were created, and you become educated, been born from within, reborn. It's a rebirth. It's a rebirth within the birth person, and that's what we're trying to do. And so I found a way. I was given the knowledge to experience what I'm trying to have you experience, which is to disconnect your thought, your spiritual self. There's two of you, and your spiritual self has been corrupted, violated as a child. Every child comes into the world and sees the parents, sees the teachers, the rabbis, the preachers. He sees them. He sees them. He doesn't know. He can't speak about it. He can't speak about it. He just senses it. And the people around him, mothers and fathers and teachers and rabbis and preachers, and just anybody who is broken begins to be affected by a beautiful child. When he's about 2-3 years old, he sees all these things. And if you encourage this kid and stop trying to teach him, but talk to him the way I'm talking to you, see, you have it within you. You have no need for anybody to teach you anything. If you want to pick up a book and read it, you do it because you want to, because you're interested. If you like mathematics, if you like chemistry, go ahead and play with it, son. Let me see what I got for you. See, that's where how you... The children can teach themselves. And the scribes and Pharisees, they were the authorities. And how horrible that world was with Caesar, the Romans, and what's worse, the scribes and Pharisees. See, they were word for word. You have to live word for word, and that kills the soul. Education can kill the soul. It can go further. Even if what you're taught is right, if it's pushed on you, and you have to recite it back in order to be recognized as a person, you may be saying the right thing, but in a wrong way. Animals don't have that. They do the right thing in the right way for them. There's no other way except reacting and running and fighting. You have to learn to deal with evil. And you can't deal with evil if you are subject to it by birthright, meaning you come into the world and you have teacher that your parents are not as good as they should be. They spoil you or they bully you. And you can see them fighting each other, etc., etc. You see all that. And pretty soon you doubt yourself and you go to school and the kids who have been broken, they turn on you and see that the little light inside you, and they come at you, la-di-da-di-da-da, you silly little fool. And they get pleasure out of destroying your virtues and your intuition. And so that's what we need to be here. I am teaching you, showing you, there's a place within you from which the world came. And so your God will teach you, the Spirit will teach you. Jesus says, you can't know what I'm saying right now, but when I'm gone, I will send the Holy Spirit and you will know what I'm saying. Even then they couldn't understand him until he walked away, died, and came back to life again, and then went away. But then the Spirit came to them and they began to understand these things. And the minute they began to understand these things, they threatened the world around them. Threatened them, their very existence. And I want you to be one of those people, because in America it's tolerant. They can tolerate it. It doesn't mean to say they won't do it to you. You have to have trials and tribulations. So even in America, you will have them. The fact that you're born to a parent that didn't understand all the things that, I mean, you are, I hope you are understanding. And so that's why you sit there quietly and see if you can disconnect yourself from your thoughts. But there's a special way of doing it. And it starts with your right hand of God. Right hand. Left side of brain. And you become aware of it. I just have your hands, so you close your eyes, be aware of your eyelids, and you see little pixels moving across the screen of your mind. There's this motion there. Those pixels are basically what you call them, thumb drives. Those pixels are programming from within, juxtaposed to the programming you are now accustomed to, programmed. We overcome the program, or give the program of what you've learned. Did you get the point? Sorry, I babbled a lot. But did you get anything?
That's okay. I think... Roy, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, so I guess just what my... Maybe to say it this way, I mean, I listened to, you know, listen to you very intently. I guess like one of the things I hear you say on your show and also on the different recordings, you talk about... you know, practicing the meditation, and then you talk about, you know, being patient with people and not resenting and not hating. And I guess my real question is, or a more specific way of asking my question is, if I meditate do the 7-minute exercise 3 times a day, morning, night, and at least once during the day,
yes,
automatically will I become a person who doesn't hate? Or do
That's
I have
correct.
To
That's
exercise
correct.
Exercise some sort of discipline, or do I have to exercise some sort of discipline?
No, nothing. It's a gift. It's you're looking for the gift. In other words, you know about relativity. You know what the word means, I think, a little bit. And so,
not exactly.
Well, if you have a car and it's moving backwards, if you got to go forward, you have to stop and go forward. And so, your life is going backwards, so you have to stop before you go forward. See that? And so, and the programming I'm talking about is your conditioning when you come into the world. You're teaching the cruelty around you and demoralizing you and making you doubt yourself and all the rest of it. You come into the world with that intuition, and you tend to get lost in it, lost in all the things around you, what people want from you, people looking down their nose at you, etc., etc. la-da-da-da-da-da, all that kind of stuff. And so, and as you get older, it gets worse. And you try to fight it. But the more you try to fight it, the more you become like the person you're fighting. You're becoming the animal. You have to fight differently. I fight by, the more you try to upset me, the calmer I get. But the calmness is a gift. The ability to overcome what's in the world, in other people, the ability to do that is a gift. And therefore you do not have to do anything for it. You have to be grateful for the fact that you have the gift to not to respond to anything and to cause the person to respond to you. Something good in you rather than you responding to something bad in them. That is the goal. It's a gift. There's nothing more for you to do, and if you just learn not to overcome,
you're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Yes. Now, Brad, it's a gift. I am speaking to you is a gift. I know it's a gift, and it keeps on giving. And the more I give, not from my body, you know, you can be nice to people and give of yourself, and pretty soon you give of yourself until there's nothing left of yourself because you're giving of yourself. And you're emboldening your problems. You're emboldening the behavior of your abusers. No, it's a gift. It's coming from the Him who created the world. It's a gift, and you've got it. And you wonder, but the first time it happens, and people start to be mean to you, and you find yourself not reacting. And they're reacting because they can't get to you. They're beginning to see something about themselves that they don't want to see that you are showing them. And you don't even know you're showing it them. All you know is this is a gift. It's a gift not to react. If you...
Okay. So if I am meditating, you know, regularly, then automatically I should be becoming patient with people.
You have to take away the word automatically. It's not like that. It's a gift.
Okay.
Look at it as a gift. It's not something you achieve and then it works automatically. No, it's actually a gift, and it comes with the ability to deal with every moment in a very special way that nobody else, that you will never, never, never understand, nor you do. You need to understand. All you know is, I see it. Oh, I see that. I'm not going to let that happen. But you don't have to say a word. You meet every moment, and the timing is perfect. The timing of your gift is perfect. You could know the same thing and yet not have the timing that is connected to what I'm speaking about. The gift. The gift gives you everything to know what to do every moment, what to believe in every moment. In other words, presented to you as lies, you see through it, and you see through it, but it saves you from being able to see through it. You don't have to learn any more than seeing through it, because it doesn't get to you. Just seeing through it is a magic, and therefore it does not affect you. The person who is that you're seeing through. And this person who's doing this to you will feel your force. It will feel your force in a way he's never experienced it before, and he doesn't know how to fight it. And you will destroy that person if he hates you from where you're coming from. If he hates the little, that beautiful self within you that you don't even know you have. All you know is you're not reacting. Somehow you have an energy field that flows away from you towards to people. You have another way of looking at things. You have another way of looking at things, and it's just like sunshine shining through you onto that person, and you see everything about them. And you can't be fooled. And if you are fooled, you don't get upset. It's a lesson.
Okay. All right, well, thank you, Roy. I appreciate you taking the time to answer my questions and explain all that.
Did it help you any?
I think so. I mean, I think a lot of this is like I have to be able to, you know, tap into that intuition.
That's right.
You know, it's just, I don't know. So
you already have it. You already have it in your heart. If you, let me ask you a question. When you were a little boy, and at various times in your life, you said, "What's life about?" Correct?
I've heard you like mention that on a show. Like,
yeah.
I can't say that that's true for me. Maybe, but I can't say for certain.
All right, but you would agree with it, wouldn't you?
I mean, sure. I think everybody at some point, maybe not everybody, but I think a lot of, I have pondered the meaning of my existence instead of.
Yeah, that's the meaning. There's a meaning for existence. You can't give it to yourself.
No. Go ahead.
The meaning for your existence, you cannot give to yourself.
Correct.
It has to be a gift.
That's for sure.
That's it.
Right.
And so but you had it when you came into the world, and then you lost it.
Okay.
And you got, look, you got conditioned. And you struggle with that condition, it gets worse. And then this is a slow death. Because you see, there's got to be a self within the self. The monkey and the cow and the dog is a product of what God created and everything. But He makes you in His image, and He wants you to live forever. But there's got to be a trial of some kind. See, so you have the image of God, and you need to find the purpose for your existence, because only a human being has an awareness, and you have an awareness that the dog doesn't have, that monkey doesn't have. It has an awareness to realize there's something wrong with the way you're reacting and how you're making shape in you, and it's creating conflict with your human self, your potential.
Mm-hmm.
See, and so the whole idea is to bring you back to what you had when you came into the world. That's it. It's very simple.
Gotcha.
And it's a gift. It's a gift, and it keeps on giving and never stops. And so to the degree you listen to Him within you, He will show you more and more and more and more, until His identity takes shape in you rather than the dark side. If you don't do that, and you allow yourself to keep reacting, you have conflict and conflict, and then you drink, you smoke, you drug, you seek distractions, you do unto others what was done to you to relieve the frustration, buried frustration, and so.
Mm-hmm.
There's no meaning in life. The meaning in life is to be still and know. And there's a secret to that that couldn't be told many years ago. But in America, we can say this. If I was in any other place, like Hitler Germany, or ISIS, or other places, oh my goodness me. Oh, but you can say goodbye to Brad. I think we had a good chat with each other. Ladies and gentlemen, please, I haven't asked you for anything here. I love what I'm doing. I'm not sure I'm getting to you. I want to get to you and awaken. And the awakening is a sense of, wow, it's like a breath of fresh air. That's how it feels like to begin with. All right. Post Office Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. Thank you for a Christmas present. Thank you.